We're on page Tavkuf Nun Aleph and Talei Chaim and Pashav Yisrael. For those of you who have the Sefer on the pages, the first set of pages, we're going to be doing 4, 5, and 6 in Mitzvah Shem today, which is not the end of the Maimon. We're just getting to the meat of the Maimon. We learned this amazing piece last week from Sfasem, which the Chalban was sort of easing us into, where the Sfasem speaks about the tzaddik that Hashem trusts. That there's a tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts, that even though Hashem makes promises to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik believes 1,000,000% in the kates, in the outcome, in the end, that it will be the way God wants. The tzaddik believes in that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts that, nevertheless, the tzaddik will turn away from that and will be in the moment of bitachon, will be in that moment of bitachon with his tzaddlus. Meaning, he will feel the urgency of that moment, how every single moment of life is in Hashem's hands. And he won't just sit back and say, there's no problem, everything's on automatic. I'm just gonna keep on breezing along over here, and everything's gonna be fine. The tzaddik doesn't live that way. The tzaddik lives every moment in that tension of will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be with me this moment or not, even though he knows that in the end it will be what God said. So we learn that piece from the Sfas Emes. So at this point on the bottom of page Tovkuf Nun Aleph, at the end of page 4, the Chalban begins to get back to some of the questions that we began with. Just to learn Pshat. We're going to be learning Pshat and Chumash. On the bottom of Tovkuf Nun Aleph 4, Lor, where it says, Yishuv Chelik Me'ashaylus. Lor Dvar Me'elu, Nuchal Yashav Kama Me'ashaylus Shishalma B'tchilas Hasicha. In light of what we've learned, we could begin to answer some of the questions that we spoke about at the beginning of the Sikha. Reishis, Yaakov hinu klal lo irer al hashvua shakadosh baruch hu nishba lo. We had a problem. Why does Yaakov hinu turn to Hashem and daven and beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him if Hashem already swore to him that it's going to be okay? That was the first question. What are you worried about? Hashem told you everything's going to be all right. Elavadai, we've learned now, but Vaday, Batach Vehemin, there's no question that Yaakov trusted and believed in Hashem's Shvua, that in the end it's going to be okay. V'meila Baruch She'en Klal Kushi Al Ha'ikaron Shekadosh Baruch Hu Eino Chozer Bo Mishvua Tova. Now we had a question back then that we know that when it comes to a Shvua that Hashem makes, when Hashem says he's going to do something bad, that we could change with davening and with fasting, whatever. We could be zayich to change it. But when Hashem promises something good, it's good. Hashem doesn't renege on that. So what's there to worry about? If Hashem promised Yaakov and everything's going to be good, Hashem doesn't back out of something that he promised. It's good. So it's not a kasha. Of course, Hashem is not chayzer, Yeshua Toyla. He's not chayzer. He does not renege. He doesn't retract. Shagam kan, lo mitzuben klal, lo shakash baruchu, Shakash Baruch Hu Chazabo, Lubam Islay Chazabo Klal. Nobody ever said that Hashem, and it never happened, Hashem did not retract. Lubam Islay Chazabo Klal. Elisha Yaakov, his Siyarim Hasiba Sheminu Lamala. Yaakov was afraid because he was living in that moment of trusting Hashem and making the Ishtadlis that he has to make, which is, I got to daven, that's my thing. Hashem, you do what you do. My job is to daven. My job is to daven and to always. Our eyes have to be turned to you every moment.
Even though we heard that it's going to be okay.
Even though we heard that the end is going to be okay.
Right.
The end will be okay. But right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that promise that the end will be okay, what's the shiur of davening that I have to do? I have my responsibility. That end, which will be good, woven into that promise is that I take responsibility to do what I have to do, and what I have to do is daven, and I have to ask. Lora zos nuchal havin gam is a hevdel ben Avram Avinu ben Yaakov. We could also understand how the difference between Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. Shehin elachayr sheilas Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu got into trouble because he asked b'me'eda. He asked Hashem, how do I know that my children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? How do I know? B'me'eda. Like I need a simon or something. B'me'eda. So he was blamed for that on his madrega. So it's nishma k'may hatolas sofek be'etzem yirushas ha'aretz. When he asked the question, b'me eda, how do I know? It's ki'ilu he was casting some doubt over the ultimate reality of us yarshening Eretz Yisrael. It seems as if he casted some doubt over that. V'hainu b'shivos v'shalkadosh baruch hu. Something was right. V'hainu b'shivos v'shalkadosh baruch hu. Ki'ilu, he had some question about Hashem's oath. Hashem said, L'chlet nana l'zarecha. I mean, those words were spoken later on, but Hashem promised Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael to his children and so on. And I was asking, b'me eda? Fine, there should be nigud l'Yaakov Avinu, unlike the case of Yaakov Avinu, shebechol ma'isav lo, page 5, b'chol ma'isav lo ha'isak klal histapkus b'shvua. We don't find any question on Yaakov Avinu's part. We don't find that he had any suffix at all, that there was any doubts that he ever expressed regarding Hashem's shvua. Elarak asiyah mitzido. All we see is Yaakov Avinu is busy. He's busy with his hishtadlus. We don't find that he's asking, how do I know? B'me'eda. His inyan is hishtadlus. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Elarak asiyah mitzido. Kedak and Shalach Hasidim, which is the way of the Hasidim, of righteous people. Hine Eitzel Avraham Avinu Nishma L'Chayra Sheesh HaTolos Sofek B'Shvus Hashem HaLa'aretz. But when we read Avraham Avinu, and this Achazal read it, it sounds as if he was wondering whether or not the Psoiv Dover is going to be the way that God swore, whether it's going to be that way, that he had a Sofek. Shekein HaLoshen, because that Loshen, B'Me'eda, how will I know for sure? B'me eda. Nishmas shekiv yochel yesh sofik im yirash olav. It sounds like there's a sofik. How will I know whether we will get it or we won't get it? How do I know? I need some kind of proof. Hu b'shvur elokis b'vaday she'in lahatol sofik. What do you mean God swore? What are you asking? B'me eda. Mishum kach, therefore, nanesh Avram. Therefore, Avram Avinu, his madrega was punished. Lifi chelik mehashitas shehuvu b'gemar ben nedarim binyan chetah shel Avram. According to what we learned a little bit of the shitas in the Gemar, that Avram Avinu was punished. Ve'in bo b'sefer tal lechaim shmeis b'sich lepash shmeis, which is tied into the golus of Mitzrayim as a result of Avram Avinu's question b'me eda. Now we can go back to the what appeared to be the conflicting midrashim that we spoke about way back before the Abarbanel. Look how the timing is. Erev Purim. It always comes like that. Is the midrash says I'm Shahar Yisrael b'dayr shel haman ruim l'kloya. On the one hand, Chazal say in the midrash that the Jews deserve to get killed. We deserve to get killed. Back in Shushan. Al shalei baruchu b'kadosh baruch hu. That we didn't trust in Hashem. Elish esomchu al Yaakov Avinu. So we learned what was their cheshbon. The cheshbon was that they had the precedent of Yaakov Avinu. Elish esomchu al Yaakov Avinu v'donu kal v'chaymer ba'atzum. You remember that they made a kal v'chaymer. They learned the parasha of Yaakov Avinu and they got it wrong. The way they read Pshat and Chumash with Yaakov Avinu is Yaakov Avinu lo batach, that if Yaakov Avinu didn't trust in Hashem's Shvuah, then why shouldn't we be nervous and terrified and frightened? Why shouldn't we be crawling over to Achashverosh's parties and trying to make him happy? Like, why shouldn't we be nervous? Yaakov Avinu was nervous, so why aren't we allowed to be nervous? Umedivya medrash mashma ma'at bikaras al Yaakov. Now, from that medrash, it sounded a little bit like a little bit of a critique of Yaakov Avinu. But that's assuming that the Jews in Shushan that they touched up Yaakov Avinu the right way. That's how they understood Chumash the way that we understand Chumash. That it seems to us as if Yaakov Avinu was having some doubts, was having some questions. It sounds like it's ma'at bikaris al Yaakov, like some a little bit of a critique of Yaakov Avinu. Shahi tzarech liftoach, that the Jews of Shushan were right. That's what it sounds like, and just like Yaakov Avinu should not have been nervous, they also shouldn't have been nervous. But according to that, what we learned from the Abar Benel and the Sfas Emes, it comes out that Yaakov Avinu definitely did have bitachon. They were wrong. What they were trying to bring a kal v'chomer from Yaakov Avinu, that was wrong. Yaakov Avinu for sure batach. The year also bore ka'achana l'kras ha'bitachon, and his yira, his fear, was part of his whole avodas Hashem of being in that place in order to strengthen himself with bitachon. Ubemis ain bikaras al ma'aser shi Yaakov, and therefore there was nothing wrong with what Yaakov Avinu did, and we don't find in Chumash that he's criticized at all. Ulam am Yisrael shabaisa hador. However, am Yisrael by Purim loy lomdu miYaakov is inyan bitachon. They didn't learn from Yaakov Avinu the sugi of bitachon. They didn't learn from him bitachon. They did not. El irakas yiroso, which is often what happens. You're feeling a certain way, and you want to base that feeling that you have, which is inappropriate, you want to base it upon the behavior of a tzaddik, but then you don't take the tzaddik's entire behavior into account. You just look at that. You try to focus on that one pasuk. So the one pasuk they focused on is, look, it says over here by Yaakov, when Esav was coming, it says vayira Yaakov moed vayetzelo. It says that Yaakov was afraid. So if Yaakov was afraid, we certainly should be afraid. Why aren't you allowed to be afraid? But they didn't learn the whole sugi of Yaakov Avinu. Elarakas yiroso shabo kaidem legilu habitachon. They were only learning the pasuk of vayira Yaakov moed. That vayira Yaakov moed vayetzelo is when Yaakov Avinu came into that moment, when he entered into that moment of pachad, of fear, to overcome it with bitachon. And tefila takanish baruch hu. Shebetchila his yare, because at the beginning he was afraid. Kamisha munach berigshay hativi. Remember that he allowed himself to be with that natural sense of fear that any person would feel if you're in that situation with Esav and his whole army coming. But va'oz higbir levavu bebitachin. But then he was mechazik himself with bitachin. Kaimrei. Va'ata amarta heitev etiv imach. And he said, Va'ata amarta Hashem, you told me, heitev etiv imach. It's not a taina on Hashem. What's going to happen to me, Va'ata amarta heitev etiv imach? It's Yaakov being mechazik himself in bitachon and saying, Ata amarta, everything is okay. He's mechazik himself because you told me, heitev etiv imach, that it's going to be good. He's mechazik himself. Not because taina. A taina, why is this happening? You told me it's going to be good. No, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good because ata marta heitev etiv imach. V'yisrael ba'isa hador lo holcha bedarko she Yaakov v'satzmus bebitachon b'Hashem. So the generation of Mordechai and Esther back then by Purim. So the fear of the yirah ma'id that they felt, but they didn't resolve it with bitachon. They didn't come back to that place of Ata Marta Heitev Eitiv Yimach. They weren't mechazik themselves in bitachon. They brought a raya from Yaakov Avinu's fear that it's natural for a person to be afraid, which is true. It's natural to be afraid, but they were not mechazik themselves in the bitachon of Yaakov Avinu. Elarak yechziku asachela karishin shu b'chinas hayira meha'oyev. They were holding on to that first part of what happened with Yaakov, which is the fear of the enemy. Valkach bo habikaris, and that's the critique, that they were worthy of being killed, meaning that what they did was wrong. Achlo chalila al Yaakov Avinu olav shalom. It wasn't chalila an attack. Chazal did not attack Yaakov Avinu. Vaidnitin lahisi. We could also add sheschusai, that the schus of Yaakov Avinu higina aleihem, protected them. Vahinu. That even a person like Yaakov Avinu was afraid, And if not for him strengthening himself in the midah of bitochen, then it seemed that he would have been left feeling afraid. This is a different approach to say that that you could say that Yaakov, even a person like Yaakov, you could say. There's a whole different way of looking at it, that even a person like Yaakov did feel for that moment afraid, and therefore it's something that that is understandable that people should be afraid. Well, bitochen is a very hard madrega. And you could say that the taina against Bnei Yisrael, that how come Bnei Yisrael didn't trust enough in Hashem, that the way to stop the kitrug against Bnei Yisrael is that they said, look, Yaakov Avinu also was afraid. Kim Yaakov Avinu hisyare, as bevadei shatviya shalol hisyare v'leza gvur, he'inyin shalmidas at tzadikim v'ein lahanish alehas oisah ador. It's a limud schuz. That you could say a limud schuz like that, except that, of course, would not go with the medrash that they were worthy of being killed. If it was a limud schuz, and the bitochen is such a high medrega, then why would they have been killed? Why would they have been punished? So there are midrashim that there's a different way of approaching it, but the deeper mahalach is the one that we've been learning, that Baruch Hashem Sfasemis, that Yaakov trusted 100% in Hashem's promise. Nevertheless, his avoda was to be in that place of pachad of yira, and to make his ishtadlus with tefillah and to overcome with bitachon. That was his avoda. That's how the tzaddikim go. Kiilu they were not given a promise. They don't pay attention to the promise. They don't rely and rest on knowing that in the end it's going to be okay. It's not voida. That's the mahalach that we were learning. This is to say that it was a limus chus on Bnei Yisrael in Shushan, that the tzaddik was also afraid. So if the tzaddik is afraid, then the regular people, in other words, bitochen is a very hard madrega. Even for the tzaddik, it requires a tremendous amount of work. So we're not on that madrega. So we don't deserve to be killed. It's a limus chus.
Just to clarify, so the fear would be as if he didn't hear anything from Hashem, so I'm a normal, but not
yeah.
a regular thing.
He made himself into a regular person. He made himself into a regular person.
And the tefillah should be his tefillah should be the same as if he heard nothing. In other
yeah.
words, it should
yeah,
be
that's
the same
how he davened. That's what he davened. Yeah.
Not like in the back of my mind, kind of, Hashem, I know it's good, but it's still a sudden, let's
right.
make it happen.
And that's why very few people can do that. Right. In other words, I have to be part of making this happen.
Right.
And what's needed of me right now is to pour my heart out.
It's to come together.
Ishtadlus and that's exactly... So exactly where we're going right now. So that's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to see. So now we're going into the sugya. Bitochen mul hishtadlus. This equation of bitochen and hishtadlus. So that was what we were learning, really, was to understand chumash. But now how does this translate into our lives? To balance bitochen and hishtadlus. In other words, how long do we have to stay at work every day? We still have to continue to answer some questions that we asked. And to explain the difference between Yaakov and Yosef. So between Yaakov and Avraham Avinu, that we just saw. But between Yaakov and Yosef, we need to still work on that. In order to explain the difference between Yaakov and Yosef and to answer all the questions that we ask, we have to go in more deeply into the sugya of Bitochen Bashem, v'sugyas hayachas, the relationship between Bitochen Bashem v'ishtadlus Adam. What's the relationship between Bitochen Bashem, trusting in God, and how much ishtadlus I have to make? Like I mentioned last week, we spoke about it for a few minutes. If I trust completely in God, then what's the point of davening? God knows what he's doing, so I should just sit back and enjoy the ride, or just enjoy it or not enjoy it, but it's the ride. If God knows what he's doing, it means what's best for me. And I should just trust in him, and why make any hishtadlus at all? So what is the formula? What is this, the sugya of bitochen b'Hashem, trusting in Hashem, and at the same time it's obvious that we're supposed to make a hishtadlus, that the human beings have to make a hishtadlus. So how do we understand that? Now, we're going to begin to work this out according to what we saw. Ein havtoch letzadikim, l'fi divrei sfasemes. Hainu, Shagadosh Baruch Hu Einu Mavtiach LeTzadikim Kedei Sheyimonu Al Yidei Kach Miyishtadlus VaAsiyah Mitzidam. Remember, there are only a few tzaddikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts, that He makes a promise to them. But B'derech Klal, Hashem doesn't make promises to anybody. And He doesn't make promises even to tzaddikim because it's important, it's not important, it's crucial that the tzaddik continues to make a hishtadlus. And if there's going to be a promise, it could be that even the tzaddik, with the exception of a few great, great tzaddikim, that the tzaddik is going to start making hishtadlus. Rak misha vaday lo yisra shel me'asiyam etfilim etzidon etziyakav, you know? Only that tzaddik who Hashem knows is going to continue davening. He's going to continue to make his hishtadlus. Hine HaKadosh Baruch Hu mavtiach lo. So Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu. It says Hashem is megal the kates. When Mashiach comes, He showed Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu, He made a haftacha with Eretz Yisrael also. And that he's going to be saved from the enemies and so on. But that's only very few big tzaddikim that Hashem actually makes such a promise to. Because Hashem trusts those tzaddikim that they're going to be relentless in their hishtadlus. So now we've reached this question of bitachon mul ha'ishtadlus. What is the relationship between trusting in God and making our ishtadlus in this world, going to work and whatever else we have to do, going to war? How do we measure this this relationship between bitachon and ishtadlus? Shehine anuroim kan. We see, even though the Yeshua is definitely going to be in the end, with a few exceptions, Hashem doesn't make any promises. Because if he makes a promise, then the regular person is not going to work hard. Even a chashuva person is just going to take it easy. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer. We see from here that it's very clear that Hashem is very, very careful. Shloitipaga asiyas adam, that man's efforts, man's ishtadlus, his hard work, should not be affected, should not be somehow decreased or diminished. Mikoach hishanuso al avtachas Hashem, because he's relying and he's just depending upon any promise from Hashem. The kolz and noad. Lishmar esehishtadlus shehi haasiya lasata. And this is because, again, with the exception of a few tzaddikim, the ikar is that here in this world that we make a hishtadlus. Hashem wants us to make a hishtadlus. This is the olam haasiya. Hashem did not leave our neshamas in Shemaim. He sent our neshamas into the guf. The dafka we should be in a place where it's unclear, where it's tremendous, with a tremendous nisyanis, when everything is a milchama, and a person has to try to have bitachon, and at the same time to make his ishtadlus in the olam hagashmi, in this physical world, mitzad bnei adam. Mikan anu lemeidim shalom ros habitachon b'Hashem. From here we learn that despite the fact that a person trusts in Hashem and believes that Hashem is doing what's best and knows what's best, that's what this world is all about. Hishtadlus. Free choice and making hishtadlus. And this Indian we have to talk more. It seems that any hishtadlus is unnecessary. Why bother? If Hashem is doing everything, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything, because we're doing everything, then why make any hishtadlus? Including ruchnistik hishtadlus, not just going to work, but why daven? Vashem's poil hakol. V'af gam zoyis niris kemisha machisha es habitochem. Shekein im boteachu ha'adam. If a person truly trusts in Hashem, madua alav lefol batzmo, then why does he have to do anything? Why bother? Not just why bother. Doesn't it seem to be a pagam in our bitachon if we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poel hakol, everything is biyado? So what's the inyan of our ishtadlus? Yeshev shaket v'shanan. Let a person sit back, shaket v'shanan, relaxed and tranquil. The mechol ol kol means the one who makes everything happen. That's Hashem. We'll do everything. He'll do everything. Before we get into the essential question, what place is there? What point is there in hishtadlus? If Hashem oisa hakol, if Hashem does everything, before that, niga maat b'sheila ma'ases yoisa. Let's first touch upon a more practical question. Ad kama tzarech adam lishtadl b'parnasoso or b'tzarech echayv agashmin. How much does a person have to be mishtadl when it comes to parnasa and his physical needs? What's the shiur of hishtadlus? We know we have stories from they say from Shmuel Salant that in Yerushalayim that he was, or I mean, it could be he was, when he was still in Russia, I think, that he would just buy a lottery ticket. He bought a lottery ticket. They had lotteries back then too. It wasn't for $4 billion or whatever, but they had lottery tickets. And he bought a lottery ticket, and it says, I remember reading this, he said, look, I know I have to make a hishtadlus. I'll begin with the minimal hishtadlus. I'm going to try to learn all day, and I'll see what, I don't know what my hishtadlus is, what God needs of me, or wants of me, my hishtadlus. I'll try with the minimal hishtadlus, and I'll get a lottery ticket. And they say that he was able to make his way like that. So it worked out. It worked out. Like that. That doesn't mean he won like big, but he won like that. But he worked it out like that. I don't know if his whole life, if part of his life, I don't remember what it said in the safe. But he started off, he said, what, I have to right away, you know, have to go right away for like a, you know, for a PhD or something to work, because I'm worried about that. This I'm having, you know, I'm in yeshiva, I'm talking to guys every day. This is the number one problem that the guys are suffering from. The guys want to learn, they love learning. They come from families, they're not coming from a background where it was taken for granted they're going to stay in yeshiva afterwards and learn full-time, or they're going to go into kollel or anything. And they're great guys, and they love learning, and they want to learn, but at the same time, they're taking these classes that are very, very demanding, with tests and with papers. It's not like you have a lot of these yeshiva, you know, college things that, three-hour seminar. You know, when you get a master's degree in nuclear physics or something. You know, and they have an hour break also. It's not even all 3 hours.
Online too.
And online, right. By the way, that's not just in the yeshivas. At least in the yeshivas, the guys want to learn. They want to use their time in a good way. Hopefully, the guys want to learn. It's good. But the guys I'm talking to, they're suffering terribly from this. There's nothing I want to do more than go to the Beis Medrash for a night seder. But they have like three papers due, and I have this one with this test. And so they say, how much hishtadlus do I have to make? How much hishtadlus? And then this one, yesterday, 2 days ago, I was talking to this wonderful bacha. So he's trying to make a cheshbon. He's very, very smart, apparently. He's trying to make a cheshbon. So if I go to be an actuary, I could do that, you know, fairly quickly to be an actuary. But on the other hand, there's tremendous pressure on me to go into medicine. He's good in science and math, and you know, he could help people. So he's like, all of these questions, they all come back to this sugya of bitochen and hishtadlus, and where is it going to leave me room for avodas Hashem to be able to come home at a normal time, and to sit and to learn and to spend time with my family? This is what's on their minds. What am I supposed to do? And since they were raised with a very strong work ethic, most of the guys were raised with a very strong work ethic, not just to have other people pay. They want to support themselves. So they're 21 years old, 22 years old, their friends are going out, they want to go out, they want to get married. They don't have this mahalach, like, let somebody else pay for this. I have to pay for my own wife and kids. So, which, I mean, I don't know if it's heretical to say that, but that makes sense, and it's something that men have been doing for thousands of years, including very orthodox ones, including Tanayim and Amorayim, and Vishayim and Achrayim. So the cheshbon is, I have to do something, but I don't want to do something that's going to take up 14, 15 hours. I won't be able to learn. But if I'm not going to do something where I can make a really nice panasa, then how am I going to live in a firm neighborhood? And am I going to pay those tuitions? And these are the questions everybody has. Like, so you tell me I should go live someplace, you know, I should go live in the mountains somewhere? And what about a wife? What about children? Trying to, what am I going to do with yeshivas? Obviously, he's not going to tell each person, you got to do this, you do this, you do that. We need to understand there's a mahalach of how to move forward in life. We're not going to this at great length. I want us to focus on one nekuda. Hanogas b'madrega ruchanis shebo ha'odom yochel ma'id b'hishtadlus. We're going to talk about a person being in a place in a madrega ruchanis. You see, that's what Reb Shmuel Salant, when he said, I'll try the lottery, you have to understand, Reb Shmuel Salant did that. He sat by the Gemara and he was learning all day, and he put in his dollar, his ruble, whatever he did. He wasn't sitting around correcting and crying and being worried, how come all my friends are going to Orlando and I'm not. He wasn't sitting around being nervous, and he couldn't learn and concentrate on the Gemara because I don't know how this is going to work out. What's going to be with me? He made his hashtadlis and he was learning, and he was waiting to see how it would work if he was able to manage that way. A person has to be in a certain madrega of ruchnius, like we learned when the famous Ramban, that what's a doctor doing in the house of a firm person? Why does a Jew need a doctor? And the Torah says Rapa Yerapa, it's Rishus, but a Baal Madrega, if a person would be on the highest Madrega, he wouldn't need a doctor. Rabbi Nachum Breslov, you know, was very much against the whole thing with doctors, and at the end that they brought him doctors, he was very upset about it. But it was more, he was upset. He wanted that his family shouldn't be tzabrochen. But he didn't want to deal with doctors at all. So there's a madrega ruchnis shebocha adam yochel amayit b'shtadlis. Depending on what madrega and ruchnis the person is, that's going to be the answer to the question of how much shtadlis do you have to make. Im kein, yidu ha-sheilad kamet zorech lahabis b'shtadlis or lamayit bo l'tarach b'shem. This is not a new question. How much shtadlis does a person have to make as opposed to bitoch and trusting in God? Yidover nidoin b'archove b'sifah harishayim. This is discussed at great length by the Rishonim. The most famous discussion, of course, is found in Chavis Lechavis in Shai B'Tochim. We're going to be learning a little piece of it in the footnote on the next page. That's the most famous treatment of the subject of B'Tochim and Shtadlis. But there are many different shittas in this inyan. The Kama Shittas Nema B'Kach. There are different shittas. The Das Kulam. Everybody agrees, including Rabbi Chai, including Chavis Lechavis. L'das kulam tzarech ha'odam l'shtadl. A person has to make a shtadlis. No one says, just sit back and don't do anything. L'das kulam tzarech ha'odam l'shtadl. V'achelek hamuta l'lov. And you have to. That's a requirement to make your shtadlis.
We're talking now in Gashmi specifically or in anything still?
We didn't get to that yet. So let's just say the simple pshat means in Gashmi's. But
he's not saying the knas of Adam that we have to go to work.
It's b'zeh pecha. It's like Chazal say, Adam la'omal yulad could be omal mamish, or could be omal Torah. We don't know. We didn't get to. Hold on with that, Shanyon. Eshtadlus, though, a person has to make in yonah of this world. Whether it's ruchnis de gestadlus or gashmis, but it certainly has to make gestadlus. He can't just sit and ignore the whole inyan of parnasa and the kids and so on and say everything's up to God. So let's just say, even if we're talking about gestadlus and ruchnis, not the daven anything. Umikol makom. So even though one has to make gestadlus, that's a responsibility. Nevertheless, the effort that we make in this world must be accompanied by rigshei bitachon, a strong feeling of trust, of bitachon, v'ish'alnus al Hashem Yisbarach, and trusting, relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the key that we're going to see, because it seems like a stira, but it's not. I mean, it is a certain stira. It does come from a place that can't be answered in each person's life with any kind of a scientific exact way. It can't be. We'll see. So we need both. There needs to be hishtadlus, and there needs to be bitachon. Haborim l'dei bitui b'shalvas hanefesh. This bitachon, this trust that a person has in Hashem, is manifested, demonstrated by the shalvas hanefesh. The shalvas hanefesh, the feeling of peace that the person has within him, the shalvas hanefesh, whether he loses it or he doesn't lose it. Ubishmira al hayosher, page 6. Veigonus al kol erche hatayr. Shmira al hayosher. So these are the simonim of a person who trusts in Hashem. As you have, everybody has to make your shtadlus. But what are the simonim if you're a person who trusts in Hashem? First of all, the person who has bitachon in Hashem, it could be that the two people working the same job, they're in the same office. And it could be when you look at the two people, they're making the same hishtadlus. Each one puts in 10 hours a day. And when you look at the two people, they're putting in their 10 hours, each one works hard, and they seem to be the same. Now, how do we know that they're not the same? It depends upon the shalvas hanefesh. He's saying two things here: shalvas hanefesh and yashrus. Let's first talk about yashrus, because that's the easiest. Yashrus means that when the 10 hours are not producing the money that you're hoping would produce, and you got the Baal HaChayv is coming after you, and the bank is coming after you, whatever, does the guy start to fool around a little bit with the books? He starts to play games. The yashrus. If the yashrus is affected, if the person loses his balance, loses his yashrus, loses on any level at all, he loses an absolute commitment to halacha. He starts to play games with Shabbos, chalila, with yontiv. He starts to play games. I mean, in other words, even Shabbos Yontov, let's say he's worried about keeping ahead. So I'm not talking about Michal Shabbos looks at his text or his emails, but he looks at the newspaper to hear what. And he starts to make his shtadlus. So Shabbos is affected. Yontov is affected. He can't take off a day or two for Chol HaMoed. I mean, that's of course much less of a. But he feels that he's not able to make time to daven tefillah b'tzibur. He's not able to. So these things, different madrigas tell us that he has lost his yashrus. Yashrus can be when it comes to honesty, and he starts to do stuff that's dishonest, or it can mean that he's lost his straight path in mitzvahs, in learning, and in davening. And that straight path, before he lost his money, that straight path consisted of tefillah b'tzibur, having time to learn, being erlich, being honest, paying his taxes, and so on and so forth. That's one simon, that the person's yashrus is unaffected by the conditions of his life. He's an ish yashar, period. Like it says on most people's tombstones, he really is that person. Ish tam v'yashar. And that yashrus means that he sticks the halacha, he's honest, he's erlich, and he does whatever he's supposed to do, but lamakom lachaveru, and it's not affected by the changing conditions that are taking place in his life as a result of something that might have changed in the market or in panasa chul. So that's as far as his yashrus. Shalvas hanefesh means the person's temperament, the person's way of living. I just told a maisa in shul last Shabbos. two Shabbos, last Shabbos, that, yeah, last Shabbos there was a tzaddik, abreast of a tzaddik, there's a Yitzhak Breiter. It's kedai to hear it again, if you heard it already, to have it on the tape. That there was this Yitzhak Breiter, that he was a big breast of a chas, he was killed in the Holocaust. This Yitzhak Breiter was one of the Reish Chaburis, a breast of in Poland, I think, in Warsaw. Maybe Lodger was, I'm not sure. But he was a big tzaddik. And he was very well-to-do. He had a shoe factory. And he was well-to-do. It's a Gevaldige Meise. I told it already here last week. Oh, but the standard.
Here and in Shul.
I told it. Yeah. No, Shul, that's what I told it here. Yeah, oh, yeah. So fine, so good. Yeah. So then you have to hear it. If you didn't hear it, you have to hear it again. So that is what's meant by, I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind a little bit. So that is what the Chalban is saying about Shalvas and Nefesh. By Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, what he was saying is that, look, I was busy with my factory. I went to work. I did what I had to. And now it was taken away. It burned down. But they didn't see a change in his Shalvas and Nefesh. He remained the same calm, happy, put-together person. Nothing changed. That's Shalvas and Nefesh. Which you can't fake. It's very hard to fake such a thing. You can do a little bit, but it's hard to keep it up. So these are the two things. A person, everybody has to make his stylus. Everybody has to make his stylus, and we have to have bitachon. The difference between the person who has bitachon and who doesn't, or whose bitachon is stronger, the madregen ruchnius of the one who's a bal bitachon is that he does not. Lose his yashrus in halacha, in shmiras mitzvahs. Just because things are going a little bit different, he doesn't lose his yashrus. So lemaisa, he sticks to shulchan aruch, he sticks to halacha 100%. If he has a shayla, he asks the shayla. Doesn't that paskening? He asks a shayla. What's the din? What's the halacha? And if the halacha is, I had years ago when the shul was still in a little house, there was one of the chevra from the shul. So we were talking about an Indian in Chesh Mishpat, and after the Shia came to ask me that he had a certain thing like that was what we were learning, and he said that based upon what we learned, there's something like $45,000-$50,000 that he really should give back to somebody, based upon what we learned that he didn't know, he didn't know that was, so I said, okay, look, that's what we learned, but let's go over the thing and I'll speak to a posek about it, you know, to a dayan about it, just to check, because we were learning the Indian. I'm not a Moy Hara, I'm not a posek. So I said, let me ask. So he went over the whole ma'isa that he had, and I don't remember what it was, and I called up a posek to discuss it, and he said that in Hanami he has to give the money back. So he came to me the next day after the shiur, and he said, did you guys? I spoke to the posek. I was going to give it a few days, and I felt bad. You know, so he said, yeah, he said, you owe the money. He just said, fine, good. And I'll take care of it today. That was it. I was so misbehaved from that. I went back to Yeshiva and I told the guys, he has a story from a Jew. And the guy's not a millionaire. $45,000, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It was a lot of money for him. He said, that's the din. Like nothing. If that's the halacha, then that's what I have to do. That's shalvas hanefesh, that yashvus of the bal bitachon. It's the greatest proof that this person's hishtadlus is not going over the gvul of hishtadlus. He's in such a place of bitachon. And he had to work hard to get that 50. He put in a lot of shtadlus to make $50,000. It's not like, you know, he was selling a building on Wall Street or something. I'm sure there's a lot of shtadlus that goes in there. I'm only talking about the amount of money, probably. So he worked hard to get the $50,000. And Hashem lost Hashem loka. And he let go of it, just like that. Because that's what Hashem said. That's the halacha. And that's what I'm going to do. Hishtadlus haba mitoch lachatz umetach ובוודא מייסם שיש בהם פגומים שיש בהם פגומים מדויסים או חלילה אווירס שאודם דוש בעקובב כמו מה סומתן שלוי באמונה הנה הם פסולים ומגונים מאוד. He said, when your hishtadlus consists of a feeling of constantly a feeling of metach lachatz pressure and metach tension, that you come home and you start barking at your wife and kids because of panosa things, and your whole life is like messed up, you have no salvas and nefesh, and also other things that you all kinds of pogromim in your midas, you're angry, you're constantly tense, you're on edge, you're always nervous and anxious and so on. Or chalila aveiros, shodem dash bakov, or God forbid, you lose your yashrus, you lose your balance, and you start to do things. So everybody does this. Everybody does this. Everybody takes a little bit extra like this and a little bit like that. My master, Matan Shleib Amuna, being dishonest in business. Hine hem psulim umagunamai. Obviously, these are all indicating a hishtadlus that's possible. This hishtadlus, this person's hishtadlus is possible. There's something wrong. Because there's supposed to be again, and we could use that as a way to guard ourselves in life. Shalvas hanefesh and yashvas. We can remember, there's not shalvas hanefesh. You want to make it shorter. Shalva and yashvas. Shalva means tranquility and peace, and yasha means halacha, yashvas, straight, honesty, erlichkeit. Shalva and yasha. You have a lot of camps and food companies named like that, but it's much harder to be that way. The person who is missing these two in his life of hishtadlus, it means that he's lacking in bitachon. He's lacking in bitachon Hashem's bach. The Yosef Sover Shemaisi v'hishtadlus so heim hakoyvim as garol chayiv haslochaso. Why is he getting so nervous? Why is he getting so depressed? I didn't mention that before. Depression. When the shtend is pulled away, why is he getting so depressed? The reason he's getting depressed is because he was relying entirely, that was his shtadler, his hishtadlus was his shtadler, he was relying entirely upon that hishtadlus, with only bitachon to say, Mirz Hashem, Bez Hashem, but otherwise he was relying entirely upon that shtadler of his hishtadlus, and he believed that his hishtadlus is what's going to be koveya, the outcome. And now the outcome, now he has a taida. I put in tons of hishtadlus, And it didn't come out. It didn't come out. It just didn't come out. You could have a person, I know that sometimes you could handle, in this business, I don't know much about this business, but you could handle with somebody over a piece of property for months, and they're making you crazy, handling and hacking back and forth in a certain piece of property, and it looks like it's gewaldig, you're the man, right? And we love you guys, you're terrific, we're going, this is it, we're going with you, there's no question, everything is great, and then you don't hear from the guy like for 2 days, 3 days. See, you get nervous, maybe it's a Chinese New Year or something, you don't know, guys. What you're saying, but he's not Chinese, so it's like, so what's going on over here? Then you call him, he doesn't return the call, you leave a message, and you say, hey Bob, everything okay? Some paperwork just a little paperwork, right? Working on a couple of those little details we were just finalizing, everything okay? Bob, we're on the team together, right Bob, remember? This is the deal, this is the big deal, it's going to work out, everything's great, Bob. Goodness, you don't hear from Bob. You leave enough things to think, then you get like an email. He won't call you because he's afraid to talk to you. He sends you an email. He says, "Thanks for all your help. You were great. Yeah, we Going in a different direction. Yeah, I don't know what the lesson I use here.
Going in a different direction.
Different direction means that down the block they went east instead of west. That's what they went east instead of west.
Oh my God.
Down the block, someplace they went east.
Right, we're dealing with the Chinese client right now. He just went with east west bank. So you just
okay. All right, good. So yeah, fine. Ruach HaKodesh.
Not yet.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope it should have a nice ending. But this is the you don't have to have Ruach HaKodesh to say these things. So, hey, is everything okay with you? No. So then when you hang up the email. You don't hang up an email, I guess. When you turn off the email, so you just put in 6 months. Mamish, you weren't learning. You're barely in Ashvayash Krishma, and you're handling it back and forth. You tell your wife, "I'm sorry, I can't talk to you now. But she says, "But why not? It's Shabbos. I can't talk to you. It's on my mind. I got Bob. This is all about Bob. And this is it. This is going to be..." And he said, "You have just enough time to turn to your wife and say, 'Honey, trust me. Trust me. This works out,' which it's going to. I see it. I feel it. If this works out, that I'm going to get you that house you wanted. You know the big house that you like, the Tudor in Back Lawrence? That big house. And an apartment in Rehavia for just for fun. You know that? It's going to be a different life. You're not gonna regret that you married me, which I know you regret. Until now. Now you're not gonna regret that you married me. It's gonna be gewaldig. And then also I'm not gonna yell at you anymore. I'm not gonna yell at you. Not the kids, I'm not gonna yell at the kids either. Life is gonna be good. Because of Bob. That's it. This is the big deal. This is it. And you say, "So I know I'm not being right nice, and I'm sorry, we can't go out now, we can't talk right now. I can't. What about a little bit of Mishnayos with Yankee? I can't. Because this is for you and the kids. It's all about you and the kids. That's all." Gandhi. Bob sends the email, a different direction. Oy vey. I come to Haim. No. What happened? Tisha B'Av. Yeah. And he's totally tzibrochen. Sabrochen, you can't lift this head up. She said, "It'll be okay. We managed until now. The women have da'achla more b'tochen these inyanim. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. We're going to manage. He's thinking, "I can't believe he did it to me. I can't believe that Arash and Marusha, he did it to me, anti-Semite. I can't believe it happened, such a thing." And he can't come to himself. Shalva and Yosha. But he still wants to get the money. So he might go into some funny deal with somebody else on the side, you know, to handle with something else, to see if he can get the millions of dollars that he thought was already coming to him. All of that was that he wasn't relying on God. So he's so depressed now, he can't come to himself. The people that mamish fall into depression, they have to be medicated over money things. They have to be medicated. Then they'll start saying things like, "It's not because of me, you understand. I'm a big Babi Tachan, but you and the kids, I feel bad." And the wife says, "Kids don't know about it, and I'm fine. I don't have to have a tennis court. I don't play tennis. The wife says, "I'm fine." No, it's all about you and the kids. And all those people I was going to get stuck to. I feel bad for Chai Lifeline, you know what I mean? I feel terrible for all the Mishalach. Not for myself. Myself, I'm a big Babi Tachan, but the Mishalach, I feel bad. I was hoping I was going to be able to write every Mishalach $1,000 check, and now I'm going to have to give him, you know, my lousy $5 a dollar. I feel bad for the Mishalach. Only the Mishalach knows you feel bad, who you feel bad for. For the Mishalach. For your wife and kids. And together with that, there are people that fall into dikaon, into terrible depression and despair. I mean, look, there are people, people that kill themselves. I don't think there are chalila many Jews that do such a thing over mamonis, but they can kill themselves over time, not fast. So he says, those who trust and really trust in Hashem, the last line, they do everything with yeshiva das and shalva, be'emes, erlich, honest, emuna, b'li lachatz, b'li rivim hodim, without chaos, anger, getting to fights and yelling and getting all worked up. Umasmichim atzma l'Hashem is brachta. Bar Yisrael is the standard. Zehu. There's no other standard, only Hashem. Lekel Gomer Alai. Hashem finishes everything. Every deal. Lekel Gomer Alai. Dodomach says, Hashem finishes every deal. that's it. Lekel gomer, he finishes everything. My job is to start. I do what I can. Lekel gomer olai, he finishes. Hashem will do whatever's good. That's when he's the Kel Gomer. We have to work more on this, Mr. Shem.